feel the heat.
Old Harry's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Stephen O'Donnell as Gary the Demon, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
When no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong, you give me hope and understanding. You give me strength to carry on.
Oi, Elvis! Elvis, keep the bloody noise down.
Sorry, sir.
Never stops. What's the matter with him?
Well, he's probably thinking, here I am, stuck in hell. Might as well sing, keep my morale up.
Yeah, well, you were supposed to ensure that his morale is permanently down, aren't you? I mean, he knows there's a no-singing rule down here. There are signs everywhere. The only person allowed to sing, and then only for my tormenting purposes, is Gracie Fields.
Elvis was just born to sing, I suppose.
Well, punish him. Stick him inside a box or something.
A box? Elvis?
All right, then, a crate. Just anything that'll muffle the noise a bit, OK?
Right, OK. Make a note of that. Crate for Elvis.
What's that you're writing in?
My file of facts.
Your file of facts?
Yeah, well, it used to be Thomas's, but he gave it to me as a present. It's in good condition. A little bit of dried blood on it from when Thomas bled to death in that car crash. But apart from that, it's fine.
Demons aren't supposed to accept backhanders from the damned, Gary.
Well, it's just a file of facts. I mean, it's dead handy, because I just write down all the things I've got to do.
Yeah, well, beware of Thomas's bearing gifts. He's up to something. Oh, which reminds me, I don't think we should be billeting Machiavelli and Richard III so close together. There's always a lot of whispering going on. So I'm separating those two in your file of facts.
Fair enough. Now, let's see if I've got a window.
See if you've got a window? We're here for eternity. Of course you've got a bloody window. And what's this on the floor?
Entrails.
Exactly. I've nearly gone arse over tit twice hidden on those. Whose entrails are they, anyway?
Don't know, can't remember. Does it matter?
Sweetheart, honestly, this place is like a tip. You should put entrails back in the person where you found them. I don't see why I should clear up after you. I could be out enjoying myself, flailing a few bishops or stretching Joseph Stalin on the rack.
Well, what's stopping you?
This mess is stopping me. Look at it. What we need is a Hoover.
Yeah, I know what's brought all this on.
Do you really, Gary? How fascinating.
Yeah. It's the professor. Ever since he said you were projecting your own self-disgust onto the world around you, you've been all irritable.
Really?
Yeah, you know, obsessive. Anally retentive.
Do you know what anally retentive means, Gary? Because I'm perfectly prepared to illustrate with this broom.
Well, you're Satan, Prince of Darkness. You shouldn't be tidying up.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Gary, yeah. You take the broom. Thanks for volunteering. I want it spotless by the time I get back.
Brilliant.
I'll send you over some help. I know, George Formby. He's had cleaning experience. And you can have, Vlad the Impaler and Joseph Stalin, just as soon as I finish stretching him on the rack.
Well, how long will he be on there?
About half a mile, I'd say. Girls me up. I love that.
Oh, I'm so cheesed off. You can shut up as well.
Well, I didn't say anything.
No, but you were going to, I can tell. You had that look on your face. The look you get before you come out with some bit of homespun philosophy. It's like sharing digs with Jiminy Cricket. God knows I've been shoved in here with you.
I think Satan wants to make a point. He wants to prove to me that man is a venal, selfish, animalistic reprobate.
Well, how would my being in here prove that?
I've no idea.
If you ask me, I'm probably clinically depressed. You haven't got any Prozac on you, have you?
No, sorry.
I didn't have my supply on me when I died.
If you died.
Oh, don't start that. We may have passed into another dimension garbage again. You got any drugs on you? E, cocaine?
Drugs make you paranoid.
That's what they want you to think.
And cocaine damages your nose.
Listen, pal, the money I was making, I could afford as many noses as I wanted. I could have had more noses than Michael Jackson. Hundreds of noses. Noses coming out my ears. God, I was hot. But look at me now.
I know what'll cheer you up. We'll play happiest moment. You have to describe the happiest moment of your life.
Oh, God.
You'd like me to start, OK. I'd say the happiest moment of my life was October 1966. Cambridge. Sitting on the riverbank with Deborah. With the trees on the banks all shimmering gold and auburn and hundreds of wonderful subtle colours. And realising that I would be spending the rest of my life with her.
Pass me the sick bag.
All right, then, what was your happiest moment? Or didn't you have one?
I had hundreds of happiest moments, actually, every day. Don't think your life was happier than mine, because it wasn't. I was a happiness machine. You ask my wife. You ask all my wives.
Well, pick one moment, then.
OK. I think it has to be about 6:30 p.m. on 4th of June... 1981. You see, I've got this identical twin brother, Clive. I mean, like, totally identical twin brother, except he was the golden boy, the goody-goody, everybody's favourite. Anyway, that night, I called round to his house, and his wife, Jean, answered the door, and she must have been expecting him home because she thought I was him. Well, I was going to put her straight when she started to come on all horny, you know, murmuring, "Oh, Clive, Clive," and tearing at my clothes. So I think, well, why not? So a few moments later, we're both stark naked on the floor in the hall, going at it like rabbits, and all the time she's thinking I'm Clive, Super Clive, Clive the patron saint of smug siblings, and I'm thinking this is brilliant because he's looked down on me all our lives, but now I'm getting my revenge. Oh yes, I've triumphed, because without anyone realising, I'm shagging my brother's wife. And what's more, I had clap at the time. And while I'm cuckolding my own brother, I am thinking, this has got to be the happiest moment of my life. Ah, great day. What? Why is your jaw hanging down like that?
All right, Prof. Everything okay, Thomas?
Yes, thanks.
Well, in that case, have some boils.
Ah!
your face is suited to boils, Thomas. They match your personality. Are you all right, Prof? You look a bit pale.
Oh, yes, I'm fine. We were just playing a game.
Oh, that's funny. I've just been playing a game with Elvis, where I put him in this crate and nail the lid down.
And he has to find a way out?
No, he has to put up with it. So what was your game?
Well, we each had to recall the happiest moment of our lives. Uh-huh. Mine was an afternoon in 66 with Deborah, and Thomas's was... well, it was a bit different. Do you want to go?
No, that's not my kind of game.
Well, you must have had a high point.
It sounds like a very boring game to me, Prof. Now, if you'll excuse me...
You haven't known happiness, have you?
Oh, and which of your countless human emotions is that? Is happiness the one where you leap up and down, screaming gibberish because you won a holiday in Spain?
Oh, no, that's elation.
Oh, right. Well, then is happiness the one where you walk around with a self-satisfied smirk because some other mortal is desperate enough to want to have you jiggle bits of your body inside theirs?
Of course not.
So, Prof, pray, what's the official scientific definition of happiness?
Well, I don't know. Often you don't identify it until after you've lost it.
I must be getting on. Things to do.
Well, you must have known some happiness. Before the fall, maybe.
Maybe.
Or have you erased all that from your memory?
All I remember, Professor, is that without being given a fair hearing, I, along with several of my colleagues, was sent hurtling out of heaven until we fetched up in this hole, sporting a tail and horns and goat's legs. And all this because a certain omnipotent individual overreacted.
Well, how do you overreact to a rebellion?
It was not a rebellion. It was more of a... representation by middle management. There were some angels, me included, who felt I should be assigned a more executive role. But his nibs didn't agree. Next thing I know, I'm plummeting through space with lightning up me arse. Still, what's done is done. Nothing I can do about it now.
Except whinge.
I'm sorry, Thomas. What did you say?
Nothing.
Only I thought I heard you call me Satan... Master of the Eternal Fires, a whinger. Now, do you think that was very wise?
Oh,
Hey, Vlad, you missed a bit. Here you are. You have this pointy thing for picking up litter. No, on second thoughts, last time I gave it to you, it took ages to get George Formby off the end, didn't it?
Моя бабушка нужна побриться.
Yeah, all right, here, take it, but go easy. George?
At your service.
You concentrate on the dusting.
Okie dokie.
Right. Oh, hello, Thomas. What are you doing here?
Satan told me to report to you for cleaning duty.
All right. Got on the wrong side of him then, did we?
Yeah, well, he was reminiscing about his time in heaven and he got all wistful about when he was an angel and I sort of called him a whinger and...
And then he turned you into a hoover.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can start over there in that corner.
Right, I would have been here sooner, but I lost the caster.
Oh, that's fine, don't worry. Shall I switch you on?
Yeah. Actually, before you do, there's something I'd like to ask you.
Yeah, go on.
Well, it's just that what I was thinking...
I'm leaning on that boat at the corner.
Wait, George, yeah, you know the rules. No singing. George! Oh, sorry about this, Thomas. George!
Oh, I just don't
Vlad! Cheers. Sorry, Thomas, you were saying...
Well, what I wanted to ask you was, are you happy, you know, with things in general?
Well, I'm not, now that you ask.
Mm. Is there anything you'd like to share?
Well, it's Satan. He's lost it. He spends hardly any time being diabolical these days. He just mopes around getting depressed about arty-farty notions and things the professor said. All the demons are unhappy. They've all been on at me, and I told them, take it up with him. But they're all scared of him.
Not like you, eh?
No, I'm scared of him as well.
Well, I hear where you're coming from, Gary, and it seems to me that what you're saying is that many of the demons, yourself included, are wondering if you shouldn't be assigned a more executive role, and I'd be happy to assist in a supporting capacity.
But what about Satan?
Well, you said it yourself, he's lost it.
You're not suggesting taking him on?
You've got some magnificent powers, Gary. I've seen them in action. Fireballs. Thunderbolts.
Yeah, but so is he. There's this thing he can do that I can't, which is like really scary. He can blow out this really red hot wind at fantastic speed, and it's just really awesome. I mean, if he uses that on
me, then you have to get your retaliation in first, don't you? Like Vinnie Jones.
Vinnie Jones?
Yeah. He's a footballer. Well, he's a Wimbledon player.
What you're proposing is an unprovoked sneak attack.
When he's least expecting it.
What, with one of these, maybe?
Exactly. See, I can see you've got the killer instinct. Can't you just picture it? All the damned souls and the denizens of the dark domain on their knees, shouting, "Long live King Gary!"
It's got a certain ring to it, hasn't it? Do you want me to change it back to...
No. Leave me as a hoover. Otherwise, Satan might suspect something.
Oh, OK.
You could change my dust bag, though.
Right.
So, what do you reckon is the path to true happiness, then?
Oh, well, goodness knows. I mean, people find happiness in so many different ways. Through their family or their work. I mean, you feel happy in your work sometimes, don't you?
Well, I must admit, I do get a sort of warm, pleasurable glow when I'm torturing Richard Nixon. But then who wouldn't? Most of the time, I just feel nothing. Do you ever get that? Do you ever feel that it's just going on and there's absolutely no meaning to any of it?
Yes, sometimes. Especially at the opera.
Well, I get the... Hang on. Listen. I don't believe this. I've jammed him into that tiny crate and he's still singing. How can he do that?
He hasn't lost it, though, has he? I saw him live once.
Really?
Yeah, Las Vegas. Fantastic. Towards the end of his career, mind. He'd slowed up a bit. He didn't do any pelvic thrusts. At least, I don't think he did. He was so fat, you couldn't really spot his pelvis.
Oh, it's no use. I've got to get to the bottom of this. I want to have a word with him.
Hey, where did the crate go?
It's over there. Now, I've materialised you before us because I want you to answer some questions. There's some jelly in it for you.
Thanks, sir.
Now, I entombed you in a crate not much bigger than a ladybird's handbag, and yet still you sing. Why?
Well, sir, I feel the most like Elvis when I'm singing, sir.
He is Elvis.
Well, I think what he's saying is his singing defines him, gives him meaning.
Is that what you mean?
Well, I don't rightly know, sir, but all I know is that I feel real good when I sing. Because when I sing, I remember my mommy holding me tight and singing to me. And maybe I remember all those happy hours I spent in God's house as a child, singing the praises of the Lord. So you see, sir, I think sometimes we try too hard to find happiness in the phony things, like money and fame, when all the time, happiness is staring us right in the face in those simple day-to-day experiences like love and affection and music. Does that make sense, sir?
No, it's gibberish. You're going back in the crate.
Well, what about the jelly?
No jelly.
Promise jelly!
I've never liked him. You wait till Bjork gets down here. She's going straight in there with him. That'll shut him up. Now, Prof, where were we?
All right. Brother Demons, you've heard what's on offer. Basically, we're offering a fresh start, or new hell, as we like to call it. A place where demons have the confidence and freedom to be truly disgusting. That is my dream. What do you say? Are you with us?
Well, we're not sure if we should follow you, really.
Why not?
Well, you're not very bright.
Gary can lead you all to glory.
Who said that?
I don't know. I think it was the vacuum cleaner.
Fellow demons, I have a dream. I can give hell a sense of meaning, a sense of direction.
So what's our mission statement, then?
Hey?
Our mission statement. We need to be given some specific objectives all laid out in brightly coloured graphs.
That's right, with loads of columns showing our performance targets.
Haven't you got any charts with punchy headings or anything?
Have we?
No. Where they get this stuff from, anyway? Who are those two?
They're the demons responsible for tormenting former BBC managers.
I think they've gone native. Okay, this is what you offer them.
What is it, Jim?
All right, let's see if we can unravel some of this meaning and happiness stuff. Here we have an expert panel of five minds, and identify yourself, please. Number one.
My name is Gautama Siddhartha.
Hang on, that's Buddha.
Give that man a coconut.
But why is Buddha in hell?
He's a non-believer, same as you. Doesn't believe in him with a capital H. All right, Buddha, let's hear your spiel.
Thank you. I maintain that there are four essential holy truths. Everything is suffering. The cause of suffering is desire. The suppression of desire brings about the suppression of suffering. And to suppress suffering, you must follow the noble eightfold path.
So say, if I suppress the desire to torture Richard Nixon, that would make me happy, would it?
No. That sounds like a special case.
Right. So, in a sentence, you believe the secret to happiness...
Nirvana.
Whatever. You believe the secret
is... The annihilation of the self and the subordination of the will.
Now, you don't think that, do you, Herr Nietzsche?
No, I believe in the triumph of the will. Man should strive to be free, titanic and powerful. They're supermensch.
We've got two very different views here, haven't we, Professor?
Well, they're both valid, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Although, personally speaking, I find Nietzsche's philosophy less attractive, because he sees the individual as an isolated romantic ideal, and because I'm unconvinced by his argument that morality is relative, and...
Because he's German.
Yes, I suppose that's it.
What about you, Jean-Paul Sartre? Any thoughts?
Buff.
Well, obviously not. No.
Can I ask Herr Nietzsche a question?
Please.
This triumph of the will...
Yeah?
What does the will triumph over?
Everything.
And what is the substance of everything?
Haven't you got some humming you could be getting on with?
Well, answer him.
No, I will not. I've argued with Buddhists before. You give them an answer, they just come back with another question. You're there for hours with them babbling about Nirvana and Bhava Jakva and yin-yang the flower pot men. And I refuse to get involved. I say man is freed by his will, and that is that.
Right. Mind you also said God is dead.
Yes.
And he's not, is he? You are.
So?
Well, I just think it puts a bit of a dent in your credibility, that's all.
Yeah, and I have less credibility than some fat Indian who sat under a fig tree for years and years.
All right. I tell you what, let's widen the debate, shall we? Get some more views. Machiavelli, you've been very quiet. You're up to something, aren't you?
And, brother demons, not only do I promise deeper and darker pits for the damned, but, in addition, we will create a regulatory body to monitor the deepness and darkness of pits and ensure that in terms of deepness and darkness, they shall continue to improve. This regulatory body will be called Off-Pit and will guarantee that this will be a centre of excellence in the persecution of lost souls.
Talking. That's what I call leadership.
You've got them, Gary. They're putty in your hands.
Yeah, what if Satan does his party piece? You know, the fantastically strong wind.
He won't get a chance to. I'll do me Vinnie Jones on him.
Well, grabbing him by the ghoulies won't stop him.
Well, enough of talking. Are you with us or against us?
All right, we'll have a show of hooves.
I will win. I will... Damn. Okay, best out of three.
Who'd have thought Buddha would be so good at arm wrestling?
Well, he's got a bit of a weight advantage.
Mm, true, true. Come on, Prof, let's go for a walk. I didn't think much of Machiavelli's definition of happiness, did you?
Well, poisoning people without getting caught. Was a bit on the negative side. Well, why don't you try some of the other philosophers? You must have dozens down here.
Nah, can't be bothered. Anyway, most of them went to pieces as soon as they arrived here. Martin Luther just took one look at me and shouted, "I knew it!" No, there's none worth consulting, really. I mean, Descartes just keeps muttering, "I think, therefore I am, aren't I?" at total strangers. Rousseau wanders around with no clothes on, and I can't remember where I put Aristotle. So. Well, I don't know. You look for a bit of meaning and all you find is zilch.
You know, I've been thinking...
You never stop.
I think there is a discernible meaning to your existence. You see, could humans experience happiness if there were no such thing as unhappiness? I think not. And you are an agent of misery. Ergo, by generating anti-happiness, you define happiness. There.
An ingenious and well-argued theory, Professor.
Thanks.
But total bollocks, of course.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Still, thank you for trying. Do you know how many times I get mentioned in the Bible?
No.
Well, I get mentioned in the book of Job. Allegedly, I persuaded him to test Job's faith by taking away Job's extraordinary wealth. Not true, of course.
No?
Nah. Job lost all that money playing the markets. He bought masses of stock in Sodom and Gomorrah insurance services. Well, they just got wiped out. Then I appear a few times possessing people and stuff, you know, but I'm really an extremely minor character. No, it was the church who built up my part. You know, very useful for them, I've been. The bogeyman they can browbeat people with. They sold indulgences, told people they could buy their way into heaven. Don't you think that is a cruel way to deceive people? Eh? That's why the cruelest pit down here is the Pope enclosure over there. Their holinesses get the most perpetual punishment available.
I see they're all still pregnant.
Oh, yes. Yes. Heavily pregnant, with backs at breaking point and hemorrhoids the size of cauliflowers. And it'll never end for them. Just like it'll probably never end for me. If I knew there was, well, a full stop, you know, that might make sense of the sentence.
Well, I've always felt life's about the journey, not the destination.
Did you used to subscribe to Reader's Digest?
Well, I did, actually.
Yes, I thought so.
Anyway, maybe your journey does have a destination. Isn't your end foretold in the Book of Revelations?
Have you read the Book of Revelations? It's psychedelic garbage. One minute I'm a dragon, the next minute I'm a beast, then the whore of Babylon appears with hundreds of breasts sprouting all over the place, and then I'm back again with three sixes on my bonce like I'm some sort of raffle ticket. I mean, how could the world possibly come to an end with a scenario so badly written and so crass that even Jeffrey Archer would cross it out and start again? Well, maybe not, I don't know. No. You see, the plain truth is that there's no evidence for any sort of ending. And but, hey, what the? All you demons should be back at work. Who's minding the shop? Go on, get back to work immediately. Did you hear me? Gary, what's all this about?
We think it's time for changes.
Do you now? And what sort of changes?
Gary's promised regular staff feedback sessions, more flexible rostering and wider access to nuns and virgins.
Has he?
You've lost it, Satan.
You tell him, Gary.
You spend all your time with this mortal. The workforce don't respect you anymore.
Oh, and who would they respect? Someone whose best mate is a Hoover? Now, get back to work, you lot, before I get...
Gary, you got him, the perfect thunderbolt. Now finish him off.
That was very sneaky.
Thanks. You weren't expecting that, were you, eh? Didn't think I was up to it, eh?
Are you okay?
Not really, no.
I'm going to destroy you, Satan.
But he's defenseless.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's all right, Prof. Don't you see this is my chance? If I let Gary destroy me, well, that will finish it for me, won't it? That would be my journey over. I can finally see a shape to it all. Got a lovely warm glow in my breast. Do you think that's happiness?
No, I think that's where the thunderbolt hit you.
Gary, I said finish him off.
I will.
Gary, Gary. It's so easy, Gary, Prof. Gary, I can end all this now. I just have to Gary, let him obliterate Gary, me. It's almost Gary, perfect, Gary, except that it involves letting Gary beat me. And I don't think I can allow that, really. Point of pride.
Uh-oh, he's getting to his feet.
Satan!
Zap him again, quick.
You were saying, Gary, about making changes.
Hey, lighten up. It was a prank. Uh-huh. Let's pretend to rebel against Satan, we said, didn't we, guys? He'll see the funny side, we said, didn't we, guys?
OK, run, everybody.
I was wrong about you, Gary. You got all the killer instinct of a lettuce.
Well, Gary, Thomas, I hope you both like flying.
Oh, no. Not that, please. No.
Gosh. How do you do that?
It's a gift.
How far have you blown them?
They'll just keep going and going until I suck them back, you know. Went off at quite a lick, didn't they? I never realised Hoovers were so aerodynamic, yeah. I did seriously consider it, though, you know. Letting Gary pull the plug on me would have been so easy. Just couldn't do it somehow.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of
There goes Elvis.
Sing it, me go, and let the world go by.
Oh, he's set Gracie off now.
Shall I ask him to turn it down?
Nah, let him sing. Come on, Prof. Let's go watch the pontiffs doing their pelvic floor exercises. You're not a Catholic, are you?
No. My parents were in the Sally Army. You couldn't move for tambourines in our house.
Uh-huh. Hey, Greasy. Can you keep the noise down, ma'am? Greasy, please. I'm trying to say, I can't take any more.
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Stephen O'Donnell as Gary, with Philip Pope, Penelope Nice, Michael Fenton Stevens, and Nigel Pegram. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
And the last episode in this first series is tomorrow, when Satan begs to be let back into heaven.